As the Obama administration and the government of Russian leader Vladimir Putin attempt to organize a peace conference to negotiate a diplomatic solution to Syria's bloody civil war, there are ominous signs that the conflict is escalating and destabilizing neighboring nations. At about the same time that Republican Senator John McCain met with rebel commanders inside Syria, advocating U.S. lethal assistance to the rebels, the European Union voted to lift a ban on the transfer of arms to forces of the Free Syrian Army. Meanwhile, Russia announced that it intended to fulfill a Syrian government order for sophisticated ground-to-air S-300 missiles. Israel, which has launched several recent airstrikes against various weapons caches inside Syria, warned that it may attack the S-300 missiles if delivered. On another front, the Lebanese Shiite militia group Hezbollah has sent thousands of its soldiers to prop up government troops loyal to Syrian leader Bashar al-Assad in several key battles against rebel strongholds. Another dangerous development in the war are the still unconfirmed and conflicting reports that one or both sides in the Syrian war have used chemical weapons. All told, an estimated 80,000 people have been killed in Syria and 4 million displaced since the war began in March 2011. It's become more apparent in recent months that the Syrian civil war has developed into a dangerous flashpoint for the regional conflict between Sunni and Shiite Muslims, pitting Shiite allies Syria, Iran, and Hezbollah against Sunni governments in Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and Turkey. Your reporter spoke with Chris Tensing, editor of Middle East Report, who assesses the escalation of Syria's civil war and the threat of a wider regional conflict.
There already has been spillover of the conflict into Turkey and to Lebanon to some degree, into Iraq as well. And any of these things could happen. I suppose, in some ways, the scariest possibility is that this would somehow turn into a generalized Arab-Israeli war or a generalized war of some Arab countries and factions against Israel if Israel were to become involved. And Israel has hinted that it might resume airstrikes if Russia ships these missiles that can take down aircraft. So that is, you know, sort of the biggest possibility for a regional conflagration, but certainly with Hezbollah's deepening involvement, the possibility of fighting breaking out in Lebanon more severely than it has already is probably the most real possibility at this stage. And there has been already quite a bit of fighting in the northern Lebanese city of Tripoli between forces that are considered to be loyal to the Syrian regime and forces that are considered to be more allied with the Syrian rebels. And that could intensify and spread throughout the country. And certainly the involvement of Hezbollah and the fact that Hezbollah is more and more emboldened about that and openly boasting of it is quite worrisome.
With John McCain in Syria meeting with Syrian opposition groups and opposition fighters, I wonder if you would just comment on where you think U.S. policy should go at this point, given the prospects for a peace conference sponsored by the U.S. and Russia are uncertain at this point.
Well, I think that one of the most insidious things that interventionists have managed to do with the English language in the last 20 years or so is that they have managed to define the term intervention such that when we hear that term, we automatically think military. There are other kinds of intervention that do not involve joining the fighting, and two of those things would be stepped-up diplomacy and also stepped-up humanitarian aid to try and deal with the horrible problem of the Syrian refugees who number in the millions and whose needs are not being met by and large and who may be displaced for years to come, given the fact that the fighting shows no sign of ending anytime soon. That is where U.S. efforts should be focused, on forms of intervention in this conflict that hold out the possibility of bringing it to a close and taking care of the people who have been victims of the conflict, rather than forms of armed intervention that simply promise to add more fuel to the fire.
This the civil war in Syria began as something related to the Arab Spring, you know, according to many observers, calls for democracy and overthrow of the Bashar al-Assad regime. But the allies of this movement in the rebel forces they represent include Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and other Gulf states, which are decidedly undemocratic nations themselves. If you were to look into the future in a post-Assad government in Syria, what do you think we'll see?
Well, I would not even venture a guess on that last question. I would just underscore what you said, that at the beginning, the Syrian uprising was a genuine popular uprising. Syria was always a more divided polity than Egypt and Tunisia, for example. So, you know, it was not directly comparable, but it was a peaceful popular uprising that was making very similar demands to the ones made in Egypt, Tunisia, Yemen, and elsewhere across the Arab world. It was the regime and its extreme violence that was the primary bad actor, turning that uprising into something closer to the catastrophe we see today. But it was also the meddling of these external powers. And Saudi Arabia, I think, deserves, well, shame of place, shall we say, in not only lending the fighting a sectarian cast, but also turning the overall dynamic and the overall feel of the situation from one of a popular uprising, which had a pro-democratic agenda, to one of civil war and a much more sort of existential struggle. And of course, Saudi Arabia is not only an undemocratic actor in the region, it is very staunchly anti-democratic actor. And so I think another way of seeing Saudi and other Petro-Princeton intervention in the war in Syria is not in sectarian terms, but in anti-democratic terms, that this was one of the tactics by which Saudi Arabia sought to halt the spread of this very inspiring pro-democracy spirit that was in the air in the region in 2011.
That was Chris Tensing, Executive Director of the Middle East Research and Information Project and editor of its publication, Middle East Report. For more news and analysis on the Syrian conflict, visit our Between the Lines website at btlonline.org.